This is an audio version of the article, AI Regulation: How Risk-Based Rules Actually Work, by Rakesh Narayan, available at rakeshnarayan.com. Ask a project team if they are AI Act compliant and watch what happens. Someone quotes a deadline. Someone else says it moved. Nobody in the room can actually tell you what the law requires, only that a date is coming. That is not a knowledge gap you fix by memorizing deadlines. Deadlines move. This one has moved twice in 2026 already. What does not move is the logic underneath it. Every AI system gets classified by how much harm it could cause. And the rules scale with that harm. Once you understand that one idea, every AI regulation on the planet, EU, Korean, Colorado, whatever comes next, reads the same way. This post explains the model, not the calendar. Foundation Post's IF Responsible AI is new territory for you. Start with Ethics and Responsible AI, which covers the fairness, bias and accountability side of this topic. AI Data Sovereignty covers the parallel question of where your AI data is allowed to live. This post covers the third piece, how the rules themselves are built. Why AI needed a law of its own. Older regulation assumes a human somewhere in the decision chain who can be asked why. A loan officer who rejects your application can explain the reason. A hiring manager who passes you over can be questioned. AI collapses that assumption. A credit scoring model can reject thousands of applications an hour, using patterns nobody explicitly wrote into a rule. Nobody sat down and coded, "Reject applicants from this postcode." The model learned it from data. And even its own builders often cannot point to the exact reason for one decision. Existing sector law, banking, employment, product safety still applies to AI. None of it, though, was written with a system that learns behavior rather than following instructions. Regulators needed a way to answer one question before writing anything new. How much can go wrong here? The core idea: regulate the risk, not the technology. Here is the insight that makes the rest of this post make sense. The law does not care whether you built a neural network, a simple decision tree, or an if-then rule engine. It cares what happens when the system gets it wrong. This is the part almost everyone misses. A spam filter and a hiring algorithm can run on the exact same underlying technology and land in completely different regulatory categories. The technology is irrelevant. The consequence of failure is everything. Key takeaway: the question that matters legally is never what kind of AI is this. It is, what happens to a real person if this system gets it wrong? Every risk tier in every AI law is really just a graded answer to that one question. Following image: white background risk pyramid diagram showing four tiers from minimal risk at the base to unacceptable risk at the peak, with increasing legal obligations moving upward. The four risk tiers, with real examples. Every risk-based AI law, the EU AI Act included, sorts systems into some version of these four bands. The names vary slightly by jurisdiction. The logic does not. The following table shows risk tier, what it means, real examples, and what it triggers. Warning: the mistake I see most often, teams assume we use an LLM, automatically means high risk. It does not. The tier depends on what the system is used for, not what it is built from. A chatbot answering FAQ questions is limited risk. The same chatbot screening job candidates is high risk, same model. Completely different obligations. Who carries the obligation, provider versus deployer? This is the second thing people get wrong. And it costs more than the risk tier does. Building an AI system and using one are legally different roles. And the law puts different weight on each. A provider designs, trains, or places an AI system on the market. A deployer uses that system under their own authority, often without changing a line of its code. The following table shows role, what you actually do, and what you owe. Practical tip: IF, you buy an off-the-shelf hiring tool and plug it into your recruitment process. You are the deployer, and you inherit real obligations, not just the vendor's terms and conditions. Ask any AI vendor for their conformity documentation before you sign. Not after an audit finds you do not have it. Why this pattern is spreading well beyond Europe. This is why the risk tier model is worth learning properly, rather than treating as an EU quirk. It is becoming the default grammar of AI regulation worldwide, even where the exact wording differs. South Korea's AI Basic Act took effect in January 2026 and explicitly follows the same tiered logic, with separate tracks for high impact and generative AI. Colorado passed a comparable risk-based duty of care in 2024, though not for long, as you'll see below. Brazil's AI framework and a growing list of US state bills. Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, Virginia are drafted against the same template. None of these laws are identical. Korea has no outright prohibited category, the way the EU does. Colorado is the exception worth knowing. In May 2026, it scrapped its own risk tier duty of care model in favor of a narrower disclosure law. Delayed to January 2027. Even that retreat proves the point. Regulators keep circling back to the same question: how much can go wrong? And who is responsible if it does? Best practice: build one internal AI governance framework mapped to risk tiers, not a separate compliance checklist per country. A system classified as high risk under your own framework will map cleanly onto the EU, Korean or US version of the same idea. You are translating, not rebuilding. Following image, world map diagram on white background, showing the EU AI Act as the origin point, with arrows radiating to South Korea, Colorado and Brazil, each labeled with their own risk-based AI law. What this means in practice, classify before you build. Every AI governance engagement I have run starts with the same three-step sequence, done in this order and never skipped. 1. Identify your role. Are you building the system or using one someone else built? Most enterprise teams are deployers far more often than they realize. The AI is usually embedded in a product they bought, not written in-house. 2. Classify the system's risk tier. Not the technology, the use case. The same summarization model is minimal risk in a marketing tool and high risk in a clinical triage tool. Classify by consequence, not by architecture. 3. Let the obligations follow. Once the tier is set, the obligations are not a matter of opinion, they are largely prescribed. This is the step teams try to shortcut, and it is the one that actually saves time. Guessing at obligations wastes far more effort than classifying properly first. Following image, three-step flow diagram on white background showing, identify your role. Classify the risk tier. Then let obligations follow as the practical sequence for AI regulatory compliance. Memo: where the EU AI Act stands right now, 2026. This section is a snapshot, not the model. The reasoning above will still be accurate in 2035. These specific dates will not check the AI Act service desk before you rely on any of them. Less than BR greater than timeline so far. The Act entered into force the 1st of August 2024. Prohibited practices and AI literacy obligations became binding from the 2nd of February 2025. Governance rules and obligations for general purpose AI models started the 2nd of August 2025. Less than BR greater than what changed in mid-2026, the Digital Omnibus on AI was formally adopted by the European Parliament and Council in June 2026, deferring the toughest obligations. Standalone high-risk systems. Annex 3 hiring. Credit. Education and similar, now have until the 2nd of December 2027. Not the 2nd of August 2026. High-risk systems embedded in regulated products. Annex I medical devices. Lifts. Machinery. Now have until the 2nd of August 2028. Less than BR greater than what did not move. Transparency and watermarking obligations for AI-generated content still apply from the 2nd of August 2026. With a grace period to the 2nd of December 2026 for systems already on the market. A new prohibition on AI-generated non-consensual intimate imagery and CSAM takes effect the 2nd of December 2026. Regardless of the wider deferral. Less than BR greater than penalties, up to €35 million or 7% of global annual turnover for the most severe violations. whichever is higher. This is not a fine you budget around. At a glance, AI regulation essentials. The following table shows concept and one-line summary. What to take away? Regulation is not a checklist you survive once and forget. It is a proxy, a formal, legally binding version of the question any good engineer should already be asking: what happens if this is wrong? And who does it happen to? Once you see it that way, you stop needing a new compliance program every time a new country legislates. You already know the shape the law will take, because the shape has been the same since Brussels wrote it down first. You are classifying consequences. Everything else is paperwork. That is the difference between a team that panics at every regulatory headline and one that already knows where a new system will land before the law catches up to it. Related posts on this site: ethics and responsible AI, the essentials every organization needs to know, the fairness, bias and accountability principles that sit alongside the legal obligations covered here, less than BR greater than AI data sovereignty, the three concepts that matter, where your AI data is allowed to live, and why that is a separate question from risk classification. Less than BR greater than AI alignment, the problem every AI model has to solve, the technical side of making an AI system behave safely, which regulation assumes but does not itself guarantee. Less than BR greater than AI, in the enterprise, a practical map, where organizations are actually deploying AI, in 2026. Which is exactly where these risk tiers get tested. Published on RakeshNarayan.com articles.